morning's reading comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. You may be seated.
Appreciate each of our men so capably leading us in worship. Glad to have Paul with us today. He will be coming back as our summer intern in May. And so we look forward to him being here this summer, and he'll be graduating in May. So we want to give you early congratulations for that and from Harding. And he's doing his student teaching now, and then he'll be going back for graduate school to get a master's in education as well at Harding next year. And so, Paul, we wish you all the best and look forward to you being here with us this summer. Appreciate Ronnie's prayer and all of his thoughts for our church family. And Ronnie, I liked your little chuckle in the midst of that, and we think they'll miss us too. Ronnie, we will miss you too. We are certainly going to very much, and I hope, I would say back, I hope you miss us some. But we are thankful that we can gather and worship together and have this time to study God's Word. Open up to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, where Paul is talking about love. He'd been talking about that in chapter 12, about how we're to love one another and serve and offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then he does a break in some ways in that theme when he talks about our duty to our nation and to the government, the civil government, in verses 1 through 7 of the first of chapter 13. And then he returns to his theme of love. I think that our culture has and certainly is now struggling to understand what true love is. We've been talking about love from time to time recently, and a few weeks ago I talked about how we need to speak the truth in love, talked about what love means, and I want to do that again today of talk about what love is and how we need to be motivated to love one another and how God defines love. There's three things in this passage that we'll notice. Before we begin, let me begin with an introductory story. Brother Johnson, Leonard Johnson, had been a longtime gospel preacher and teacher, and he was asked to fill in a personal evangelism class. And as he was talking to the class about how to do personal evangelism, he made his text, John 3:16, in God's love for the world. And he said the key to being a great personal evangelist, the key to being a great teacher, the key to being a great whatever you're going to be, a father, a mother, a spouse, a brother, a sister, the key to doing any of these kind of things is love. It's not the degrees you possess, the prestige you have. It's not the action that you may do, but it's the love that you must have. The key to being a great teacher of God's Word is to love those you're trying to teach. When you think about that message, that's certainly a message that God echoes all throughout Scripture. For example, Jesus makes the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, that we are to love one another. Jesus would tell us in John 13:45 that it is the mark of discipleship that they will know we are Christians by our love. It is to be, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so, therefore, it's not surprising that Paul would talk about how love is the fulfillment of the law. And so there's three things we want to notice here in Romans chapter 13. First of all, Paul says, owe no one anything except to love each other. The first thing is, love is the unpaid debt. The unpaid debt. Now we need to, verse 7, Paul has talked about how we need to pay off those that we're indebted to. He talks about we need to give honor to those who deserve honor. We need to pay taxes to those who, in our civil government, we have a responsibility of doing that. And he says we need to pay to all what is owed to them. I don't think Paul is forbidding having credit and borrowing money for when we have those decisions and needs at times. But he's saying if you do that, in our culture, certainly much different than Paul's culture, but he's saying if you do that, you need to make sure you're faithful in paying those debts. That we need to be a kind of people that are honest and fulfill our obligations to our debts. There was one man who was so overcommitted that he would put his creditors in a hat each month and he would draw out five names. And he said the names that got drawn is the ones he would pay. And this one guy was, creditor was calling and really aggravating him about, hey, you need to pay me, you need to pay me. And he got kind of frustrated with him. He said, listen, guy, he said, if you don't leave me alone, you're not even going to make it to the hat. Some people have different debt and they get so indebted with things that we can get in a lot of trouble financially. And you may be thinking about all the financial debt you have, and I would encourage you to make sure you got disciplined in your life and made sure you paid your creditors, paid your debt, and did not get in over your head. But there's one debt. There's one debt that you will never get paid off. There's one debt that you will never say, I have fulfilled that obligation. It is paid. I don't have to do it anymore. And that is the debt of love. Paul says that this is a debt you can never fulfill. We have always this debt of loving one another. And so therefore, it's important to understand, I cannot say that I don't have to love someone. Because Christ has poured out His grace and lavished His love upon us, we always have to love other people. Therefore, it might be that someone might say, well, I just don't know how I can love my spouse anymore. We need to understand that's a debt we cannot finish paying. We are obligated to love our spouse. We may be in a situation where we may say our parents are old or lost their mind or struggling in a lot of ways, but we always have a debt to continue to love and honor. We may be in a situation where our enemy has gossiped about us and betrayed us, but we always still have a debt to love our enemies as Christ commanded. We may be in a situation where we think, I just can't imagine how I can do anymore. Well, we may have to draw some boundaries there, and we may have to understand that we cannot continue to be manipulated or controlled by the other person, but we can never say, I've loved enough. I don't have to love anymore. No, love is the unpaid debt. We are always commanded to love. Love is a duty. It is an obligation that you and I will always possess. We are indebted to love one another because we are indebted to God. So as a Christian, the one thing first we need to understand about love is that you never can say, I've loved enough. I've done enough when it comes to love. I don't have to love anymore. We certainly don't want God saying that, do we? We don't want God saying, I've loved enough. I've had enough grace for that guy. I've had enough patience with him. No, we need God's love and grace, and therefore we must extend it to others. The second thing Paul says, though, is he says, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is going to break the Ten Commandments down, as we typically do, into the first part, the first four, that talk about our love for God. And those first four commandments deal with how we are to respond to God. And then the last six deal with how we are to respond to one another. And Paul quotes five of the last six, and four of the last six, about how we are to love our fellow man. And he says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder, steal, or covet. And what he's saying is that the commandment to love is going to fulfill these commandments of our relationship to one another. That love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, in the Old Testament, it is said by those who have really studied this, and you could find different numbers, I'm sure, but one person wrote that there were some 538 sins in the Old Law. And that there were some 613 laws that could be broken. They add that up and they say there was a total of about 1,150 ways to violate God's laws, either through sins of commission, doing something wrong, or through breaking a law of God. 1,100 different ways. But what Paul is saying is, I don't want you to just remember all these 1,100 ways. He's talking about the six commandments there, the Ten Commandments, and he's looking at these ones that relate to things like murder and adultery and stealing and coveting. And he says, I want you to know is that when you love your fellow man, you are going to fulfill these laws. In fact, Paul is talking about this concept that love and law are not opposed to one another. We think love is positive. You know, when you hear that idea of love, most people like that idea. We think of it in a positive way. Our culture talks a lot about love. And then we think of law as negative. I mean, we have an activity. We say, all right, we got to give you the rules. Here's the rules. Well, most people don't like the rules. Here's the commandments. We don't even like using that word, right? Here's the commandments. We try to remove the commandments from our places in public. The Ten Commandments have got taken down out of places and stuff because we don't like commandments. And we see them as often being opposed to one another, law and love. But Paul is saying that there is not a competition between law and love. But he rather is saying that really they need each other. You see, love needs law for direction. Now, this is getting back to what I really want to talk about. Is this idea that our culture needs a better understanding of love. And I want you to know that love needs law for direction. We have our livestock, and in our livestock, we have them in fences. You would understand that, because you have to have boundaries on where the livestock can go. And if they get outside of that, it can cause danger to them, danger to to others. They have to stay within the boundaries. You have small children. You put up a gate. You put up barricades to keep the children within the safe realm so that they don't get into dangerous places, a stairway or a swimming pool or out in the yard or out in the road. You have boundaries. Everybody has to have boundaries. Law is basically a boundary. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul would talk about how the law was our schoolmaster, our tutor, to bring us to Christ. It kept us under guard. It set up a fence for us so that people would know, here's what's wrong. And law is good. For example, the law said, don't commit adultery, don't murder. And these are all repeated in the New Testament. Don't steal. Don't covet. Why? Because that gives you a parameter. That gives you a guard so that you know when you violate those things, it's going to harm others. We as humans are sinful, weak creatures. We need to know where our boundaries are. We need to know what the fences are so that if we get outside those fences, we know harm's going to come. God's laws, God's commandments are not burdensome for us. They're for our good. But here's the thing. Love needs law for direction. A lot of people in our culture today, in our world today, they're tempted to say, well, we just want love. We just love others and love people. And basically, in a lot of ways, that goes back to saying we don't want any rules. We want to be able to do what we want to do. But Paul says, no, love fulfills the law. Love needs law for direction. It's so important to understand that we must accept the commandments of God if we're going to have His love. Remember what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15? If you love me, love, you will keep my commandments, law. If we love Jesus, then we're going to keep His commandments. Love needs law for directions. Parents, they love their children. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the father that loves his children does what? Disciplines them. He gives them law. He gives them direction. He gives them guidance because of his love. A parent that says, you just do whatever you want to do and you just go out and there's no boundaries. You can get in the road. You can play in the road. You can get out there in a dangerous situation with water. No, that's not love, is it? Love has boundaries. Love has rules. But let me say this. Love needs law for direction. When you look at those things of those four commandments that Paul gives here, that encapsulate the Old Testament commandments that he has given, we understand that these things are not very inspiring. That they only tell us what not to do. Don't do this. Why? Because you'll get in trouble. But here's the thing. What Paul is trying to tell us is that law needs love for inspiration. In other words, when I think about this idea of these four commandments that Paul gives, he's not just saying don't commit adultery because I'll get into trouble, because that will bring a punishment upon me. What he's saying is I should not want to commit adultery. Why? Because I love God and I love my spouse. My inspiration for not violating the law is not just so I don't get in trouble, but it is out of my love for my wife, out of love for my faithfulness to her, and out of love for God. I do not steal from my fellow man, not just so I don't get in trouble, but I don't steal from my fellow man. Why? Because I love my fellow man. And my inspiration for not taking something from him is because I love him. Now here's the thing. Law needs that love for inspiration. And we need to understand that why then, when we think about why does someone want to come to worship? Why are we commanded to serve? Why are we commanded to evangelize? Why are we commanded to do all the things that we as Christians live holy lives? Why do we do these things? Not just out of a fear of hell, not just out of a fear of, oh, we're going to get in trouble, we violated the commandment, but we should do these things. Why? Out of an inspiration of love. We are inspired. I love the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. We don't come here because we are commanded to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We come here because we want to remember the Lord's death, remember His blood, remember His body, and we love Him so we're able to partake in that. You see, love gives law the reason behind it, the motivation behind it, the purpose behind it. And so, well, you cannot separate love and law. Our world wants to say, oh, I want love, but I don't want any law. In the Bible, we need to understand that love fulfills the law. And so when Jesus says, you want to know what you really need to do to satisfy me? There's a lot of commandments, and I know a lot of lists are hard. It's hard to memorize all the lists. So Jesus says, here it is. Matthew 22:37-39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love God. Second great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. Any question about what you should do can be answered by those things. He gives us another thought when he gives us as well the golden rule and how that is to be applied. We'll look at that in a moment. But back up to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, 9 through 12. Notice this. Let love be genuine. Love sincerely. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Notice how love is the motivation for each of these activities. Do not be slothful or lazy in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. So why do you come in service to the Lord? Why do you do things to serve the Lord? You do it out of love. Rejoice in hope. Patient. How can you be patient in tribulation? Because of love of God. Love of your fellow man. Be constant in prayer. How are you constant in prayer? Well, it's through love. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Why do you give to help the poor? Why do you give to help a brother or sister who's struggling? Why don't we do our Everyone Counts program? Well, we give money each week to someone in need. Why do we do that? Because of love. You see, isn't it a lot more fun? Isn't it a lot more exciting when you're inspired to do that by love? I'm obeying that commandment, not just to check it off. I got that done. I'm doing it out of love. You see, love is the inspiration to obey the law. And I would say this, that if you spend your life trying to just obey law, it leads to, as Paul discovered in Romans 7, a miserable, guilt-ridden, hopeless existence. And you have to realize that you can only fulfill the law through the grace of God. And it's only by the grace of Christ that you can have that salvation. And then it allows you to serve and obey the law out of love and out of a desire to give that love to Jesus. Love is the fulfillment of the law. But finally, love then does no harm. So love is a debt you can never finish paying. Love fulfills the law. Love is the summary of it all, as Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. It's the fulfillment of everything. And then finally, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What does he mean by love does no harm? Well, he's saying that the essence of love is to seek and serve our neighbor's highest good. We act in their good and their best interests. Rather than thinking about ourselves, rather than thinking about just trying to not violate a commandment, love says, I want to do what's in the best interest of my fellow man. I want to do what's in the best interest, what's good. Now, Jesus would describe this as the golden rule in Matthew 7, 12. He would describe this, and we call it the golden rule. He didn't call it that, but he describes this when he talks about do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That golden rule will take you probably farther than any other relationship rule, won't it? It will cause you to do no harm for your fellow man. That is why love fulfills the law. That is, you love them as yourself. It means sincerely and earnestly. Someone has said that when we think about this idea of love, that it means from a perspective of the golden rule, that if you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it back. If you break it, fix it. If you can't fix it, call somebody who can. If you borrow it, return it. If you use it, take care of it. Talking about physical possessions. If you make a mess, clean it up. If you move it, put it back where it was. If it belongs to someone else, ask their permission before taking it. If you don't know how to operate it, leave it alone. If it doesn't concern you, don't mess with it. We basic rules of thinking about how do I treat things, how do I treat stuff as others would want, as I would want to be treated, that's how I treat them. There's a story from Opal Wetsett. Tells about when she was riding a Greyhound bus from Flagstaff, Arizona, you know, to Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was a cold February night, and the bus stopped in a little Native American community, and a young teenager got on, and the warmth of the bus, and it was a early morning, he went to sleep. A little later, he woke up, realized that he had missed his stop. He goes up and talks to the bus driver, and the bus driver tells him there's nothing he can do, that the Greyhound bus has got to go all the way to Albuquerque, and he'll have to catch another bus and ride it back to his stop. And he begged, he said, well, let me just go ahead and get off here or find a way back now. I need to get back to this place. And he said, no, I can't let you off. It's cold night. It's middle of the morning here. I can't let you off. It'd be dangerous. You got to ride it back. So he goes back and sits down, and he's troubled by this. He's very worried. And the lady notices that he's very anxious and worried about this. And so she asked him, she said, what's wrong? What can I do to help you? And the young man tells her what had happened, about how he missed this stop. And he says, I've never been to Albuquerque before. And he says that I don't have any money. They're going to ask for money for me to ride the bus back. I don't know what to do. I don't have any friends or family there. I'm very troubled by this. And so the lady says, she says, I'll help you out. I'll make sure you have enough money to get back on the bus. I'll help you get to the right place or get on the right bus. Then I'll take care of you. She goes up and talks to the bus driver, and they get everything lined out. And then she goes back and sits down. And the young boy leans up to her, and he says this, very probing question. He says, ma'am, Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? You know, that's the question we want people to ask about us. Maybe they don't always ask it verbally, but if we are living our life the way we should be living it, where we're doing no harm to others, where we're fulfilling the law of God in our life, and when we're following the golden rule, people will say about that person that they have met as a stranger, I bet that guy's a Christian. They'll ask us, are you a Christian? Where do you go to church? People will notice. John 13, verse 35. Our Lord said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. They'll know you're my disciples. They'll know you are Christians, we sing, because of your love. You've got to love one another. You've got to love one another. And so this is what love is. Love does no harm. So the Bible says, owe no one anything except to love. That's the unpaid debt we can never pay. We always got to love. It fulfills the law. It takes care of everything. And we obey the law when we love. And love does no harm to our fellow man. This morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life in any way, then please come as together we stand and as we sing.